Luke chapter 5 and verse 35, we started speaking on the subject of renewal, and we want to look further into this, repositioning ourselves for new experiences from God. Very important. Without new experiences, life will become a mere routine, and it becomes boring. Christianity in itself becomes a tradition, no longer an expression of life. For where we have life, there must be growth. And we said where there is growth, the secret is that adjustments are being made. One small one after another, but continuous adjustments are being made. The effect, or the visible effect, of adjustments that are not visible is what amounts to growth. So a person who is growing every day, or as the scripture says, his inward man is being renewed day by day. That word day there means you could look at it by every new discovery, his inward man is making a change, is going on the inside. And that's how we begin to see in the life of that person an outward show of God's glory. Whatever promise God has given to us in his word, if we will subject ourselves and yield unto him, that'll be a better word there, all right, to take daily, taking baby steps, focused on the outcome that he has promised. And every day we are taking baby, small steps there, in making daily adjustments as he gives us instruction, as he corrects, as he shows us things, and we do that, we shouldn't bother on what will eventually happen on the outside, because what God has said will eventually come to pass. But if we don't listen for that, if we are not making those adjustments, then we're not going to have any visible, all right, manifestations on the outside. Now, Jesus said in Luke chapter 5 and verse 33, and they said unto him, why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers? And I like that term, make prayers. And likewise, the disciples of the Pharisees, but thine own disciples eat and drink. And really what was going on was Jesus' disciples did not miss any party in town they were invited to. All right, so they saw them everywhere eating, drinking, but at the same time, they were laying hands on the sick and they were recovering. And he said unto them, can you make the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them. Then they shall fast in those days. In other words, this is what was being said, that, you know, since I'm around, these folks here, you know, they can go on here, drink. When they speak, things happen. All right, but when I am gone, they will try those things. They will try to lay hands on the sick. They will find that they won't recover. They will do what they are doing now, all right, but it will not work the same way. Then they will recognize that the bridegroom has been taken away, and in that day they will know that the only way to bring back that presence of Jesus that they had while he was on the earth is to enter into a fast for the outpouring of the Spirit. And in our lives, we must be watchful. Mordecai was very keen and focused. And so once he saw any slight movement and any deterioration there, he quickly sent a signal to Esther that there is a threat in the atmosphere here. Something has been hatched. We've got to do something about this. All right, nip this thing in the bud. Don't let it be when, all right, Haman has led the people against Israel and they have started to execute and kill people. That is when we will now try to do something about it. There was a man, I can't remember his name back then, who preached fighting your battles before they manifest. That the most important way, all right, to fight is to fight while it is still in the realm of the spirit, while it's still in the in form of the imaginations of men. That Jesus picked up on a battle that was coming and said, my heart is sorrowful, all right, nigh unto death. Come and tarry with me. Let's pray this thing through. And he did that, so he was able, all right, to live free, okay, of the cross. I mean, I heard a story. Let me just help somebody. Right, sometime when he preached, I think it was in Port Harcourt about 4 years ago, and there was this man, and he was a commissioner, all right, and he was going to speak before me or something. And what happened was, he told a story, very powerful story. And he said what happened was that a young man came to his office, and the man just sat in his office and said he wanted to see him. And my guy waited for most, you know, we have to be careful in life, you know, hear the story here, the way we, you know, and be sensitive to God. He said he looked at him, young guy, looked scruffy, he just left the chap. So after about 3 hours, finally was going out to saw him and said, so why have you waited this long? And this young boy said, sir, I had a very strong dream. And I could not, I knew, all right, that I had to tell you. He said, listen, you were traveling and you were going to do a campaign. And people came out of the bush and they came out in guns. And they fired at you. And he said, everybody there was killed. He said, it was so vivid that I felt I should tell you to do something about it. He said he called his pastor, and the pastor said he was on a fast, that joined him on that particular fast. And he said they fasted for 3 days and stayed there in prayer and believed they prayed it through. He said 2 weeks after, he was on a journey there to go and campaign. Exactly how it happened. Men came out of the bush with guns, opened fire. He said everybody in the car that he was in died. No bullet hit him. All right? He discovered before it manifested, and he did something about it. That's why Jesus said to Peter, Satan has asked that he might sift you as wheat. He said, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And the scripture tells us that when our hearts get overcharged, all right, which means that's the word it used, all right, through overeating and drunkenness and the cares of this life, all right, okay, it says the day will come upon you unawares. So, Jesus was saying here, all right, that once we pick up on these things, that something is moving, all right, in our environment. You know, I was telling somebody something, I won't say what he said, but I said it's like what I think was Zeresh told Haman. When Haman came and said, look, all this, he thought that the king was going to promote him, put him on the horse. He said, put a ring on him. Then what happened was Mordecai, his enemy, he went back to go and tell his wife and said, look at what happened. The wife said, now you have begun to fall. Begun. He said to him, look, this thing will end up. Now, some people see, and this is what Jesus was saying, they see within their space things beginning to happen. It says they ought to go into a fast when they are not satisfied with what is going on in their environment before they condition their lives to live with those things and accept, all right, those things as part and parcel of life. So Mordecai sent to Esther and said, Esther, do something. Esther said, I can't see anything. Why? He said, change the clothes back. He sent mourning clothes, sackcloth. He said, take the sackcloth off. Look, send clothes, you know, we are having a party here. And Mordecai said to Esther, you are in the kingdom for such a time as this. If you all together hold your peace right now, this will lead to your destruction and that of your entire house. So it's important, all right, when we see things, you are in an office. And suddenly the body language of people inside the office, your boss begins to change, his countenance is changing or changing there. You are hearing, it's that time, you need to call there, separate yourself unto God and start praying about it, that what is really going on, all right, in this place. Not that when the warfare breaks into the natural and some damage has been done, then you say, look, and I saw it, oh, and I saw it, and I saw it, I saw changes, I saw it, I just knew. All right, this is what you're saying. Call a fast right there. right? Kenneth Hagin will say that once he realizes the power of God is waning in his life and ministry, he will, just a day, he will take it off and fast to rebuild power on the inside of him. So Jesus said, in that day they shall fast. He said, for you cannot, no man putteth a new piece of garment upon an old, if otherwise both the new maketh a rent, and the piece that was taken out of the new, all right, agreeth not with the old. So what he's saying is that when he wants to bring something new into your life, this is what he's talking about, all right, the new will not agree with the old. Your mindset, all right, based on the old, all right, what has happened in your life and the way, you know, you see things, your perspective on things, your worldview will not match up with the new things that I want to bring in. In fact, you will not agree with those things. And he's saying this is why this bottle has to be changed. He said, no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottles will perish. Now note that. He said the bottles will perish. In other words, all right, it's only an insane person that will make new wine, know fully well that if I pour this new wine into this old bottle, not only is the wine going to go to waste and spill, but the bottle is going to perish. So by pouring this new wine into this old mindset, I am only going to destroy this person, and even what I wanted to do through that person will go to waste. So he said, you can only put new wine into new bottles. Now, the real word used in Greek is old wineskins. And old wineskins, all right, those wineskins were used, all right, over and over. But what they were talking about here was that the skin had to be renewed. In other words, had to be made fresh. Because the old wineskin, once you pour wine in, it ferments there. And the skin takes the shape of that wine, all right, that is on the inside. And it gets brittle and tough. And so once that wine is out, the old wine skin takes the shape of the last experience. And so we take, our mind is shaped there, has taken the shape, the way we think, about things, all right, that we experience. We got to this level, and that's how our mind, and that's the way we see things. In order to move to the next level now, God says, listen, we cannot pour it, all right, into this mindset. It's going to bring destruction of that life there. So we've got to change it, right? It's when people don't change that God now has to look for brand new people to carry things without experience, because that's risky. He'll rather use somebody, all right, that they can change. And when you change the wineskin, right, it gets fresh and elastic, which means it's willing to learn, it's willing to yield, it's willing to re-examine, all right, everything that it's done, it's in that particular state there. So new wine must be put into new bottle, both are preserved. No human being, having drunk the old wine straight away desires the new. We all are creatures of habit, and we have a tendency to say that the old is better. So, all right, God says something has to be done to break us out of the mold of the old. And fasting is one of the ways in which that process starts there, which means opening up ourselves afresh unto God. Now, having understood this, that we can understand what Peter was saying. Because Jesus said, nobody will pour new wine into an old wineskin, or else, or old bottle, or else the bottle will perish and the wine will be destroyed. So God will not pour new wine or any new experience into a bottle that has remained the same until the bottle changes. Until that person goes through, we'll say this, some form of renewal there, all right, and God begins to work with that person to make the adjustment. God says, I am going to hold back on the things, my plan and my purpose, or my purpose is for the life of this particular person. Now, if you look at 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, or from verse 8, then we'll understand what Peter was saying. He started out by saying, brethren, don't be ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as a day. In other words, he was telling them about time, that God can crunch what you felt would take 100 years and fulfill it all in a week. He can compress time and do things, all right, that you felt will take 30 years to accomplish it. He can do it the next day. But he's talking about the reaction. If he compresses all of that and does it in a day, what will be your own response to it? Are you going to lose, all right, your balance? This is what he's saying here. And almost you are floating in the air, calling yourself the king of the Jews, one of the masters of the universe. Are you following what I'm saying here? Will it affect you? You know, a friend of mine in school told me this. All right, we're in fellowship together, and he went to do some business. He said, I made some money. He said, I won't lie to you, eh? Come by a nickname there. He said, next time I came to fellowship, all of you look like fools, like you didn't know what was happening in the world. So I don't look like all of you are fools. All right? He said, because I had cash. I said, look at those people, they're still doing fellowship, jumping up there. I said, they don't know how to make money. So if God crunches it, you make $1 billion, and then you come in here, and you look around. All right? The rest of you know what's going on. You follow what I'm saying here? So God says, listen, I don't have any problem with that. All right? Bishop T. Jake said, what he felt will take his entire life in ministry, God did it in 4 years. So he had to look for another vision. All he knew to be fulfilled in his lifetime was compressed into 4 years. Done. Right? Now look at the next verse here. So he says the next verse, then he explains why. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. That is, it looks like, God, you are slack, you are the one. God says, let me tell you, I am deliberately not moving. But is long-suffering to us word. Remember, you can't pour new wine into old bottles, or else the bottles will perish. Not willing that any should perish. In other words, you see all these promises? I fulfilled them. He said, it might just be the end of the road. All right, as far as your Christian faith is concerned. Now, let me tell you this. A young lady, she was a young lady, and she told me something when she got married. She said, I have prayed that my husband will not be wealthy. So it won't happen in my house. So we will have enough, but he will not be a multimillionaire. I said, what type of prayer? This is witchcraft. She said, understand where I'm coming from. We were happy in my family, my mother, my father, everything, until my father hit it big. The minute he hit it big, we lost him. Other women came, other children came. That was the end of our family life. And I promised myself it will not happen to me. Now, she was coming from somewhere. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, what happened? What she felt was money came in and it destroyed marriage. Now I ask you, which one is better? To have a sound marriage, a sound family, and godliness with contentment is great gain, or to have money and don't know where your seed, all right? Which means on the funeral day, you know who the sons and daughters are. If you ask, even the man himself, he will tell you the pain, all right? It has been so much that I would just have preferred that life that I lost, all right, by it. Now, it's not that God doesn't want to bless, or he says, because of that we're not blessing, he's simply saying there that, listen, I want to bless, all right? But look at the last thing he says here. He says, not willing that any should perish, but that they shall come to what? Repentance. In other words, repentance means renewal, all right? That's the same word, renewal of your mind, that certain things change on the inside of them. Their minds are renewed. That they allow me to do a work in them first. He said, then I will be able to pour out that blessing. He said, but you know, they are resistance there, all right? They resist that work there. For Esau, the Bible tells us of Esau, that Esau there, all right, he did not. Now put Hebrews chapter 12, I believe, and verse 17. All right, for you know afterwards, all right, when he will have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance. Which means Esau didn't change. Though he sought it carefully with tears. So he was crying, all right, at one point about the blessing. And God said, this thing doesn't yield to crying. It yields to what? Change here. So you find people throwing tantrums when they don't get what they're supposed to get, right? Getting emotional and manipulative about it, all right? Playing the victim card. He said, the way is to change there, all right? Change there. The scripture talking about Abraham, God said that God tempted Abraham. Now, that word tempt means God tested Abraham. Now, the scripture says, through faith, Abraham obtained righteousness. That word righteousness means he was set right with God. So through his faith, God gave him his promise. Abraham understood what was going on. He believed God. That opened up the door of communication between him and God for God to set him right in his heart. And once Abraham was set right in his heart and he had developed his character to that point, God said, you can have it. And what was the proof of that? God simply said, now I want to show you people the kind of work I have done in Abraham. So when he tempted Abraham, it's like a car company saying, we have this new car and we want to take it on a test drive. You will understand the durability of this car. We'll take it through various types of things so that you will see how much we put into this car, the work that has been done, and what this car is made up of. So he said, Abraham, I want to show you people the kind of work I have done in Abraham. He said, Abraham's prayer was to have a child. He said, to show you the work I've done in him here, he said, Abraham, take that child whom thou lovest. Place that child on an altar. Now, when it was Ishmael and that work was not yet done, all God told Abraham to do was to get Ishmael out of his house. It was grievous unto Abraham and difficult. But now God was commanding Abraham, take Isaac whom you love to kill him. And there was no resistance in Abraham. He placed Isaac on the altar, brought out a knife, and God said, can you see the kind of work I've done here? Which means no matter what I bless you with, you can give it up for me. No matter what I put on the table there, you can walk away from that particular thing and that doesn't become your idol. He says, if I'm going to bless you with something, and you will not be able to, it becomes, all right, something that takes a stronger place in your heart than me, then we are going to have a serious problem here. It will lead, all right, to destruction there. So God says, I did a work in Abraham, a very deep work on the inside of him, all right, to show you that Abraham was free of anything. He could walk away. Abraham could call his brother Lot, and for the sake of peace, he said, any land that you want. And Lot took the most lucrative part of the business. And Abraham said, you can go with it. That was a man in whom God had worked, not only for him to will, but also to do of his good pleasure. So God says, if you allow me to do that work, what I will get done in your life, which means you are trying to do what's on the outside. He said, no. What you should do is to allow me to do the work on the inside there. Right, to expand, all right? In Luke 5 there, 37, in the Amplified Version, if you have the Amplified Version, that talks about ferment, all right? Wine ferments there. It talks about the fact that the wine will ferment and cause an expansion of that particular bottle or wine skin. So it will cause it to expand. And God says, listen, you have got to expand, all right? Your thinking is too narrow. You are thinking, all right? You've got to expand, all right? What do you think? I mean, God can give you a position. That's why Jesus said they were praying for some elevation. He said, want to be on the right hand or on the left. Jesus said, you don't know what you're asking for. He said, this thing you're asking for, do you know the kind of baptism? All right? I mean, we've seen people promoted, and because of the promotion, elevated in powerful positions in government. And none of anything, in all sincerity, they just didn't understand how government works, and they get them in trouble because of their ignorance about the process. God says, we place you there. You don't understand the process that is going on. You see people keeping everything they wrote to them on a sheet of paper, keeping paper trails for everything, asking people whatever they tell them. All right, please, will you write it down if it's on a sheet of paper? Say, why are you going through all of this? Because you are coming out of an environment where there was trust, where you all knew yourselves. Until one day, all right, there's trouble, and he said, well, he told me, and the guy looks at you and says, have I ever seen you before in this office? Have we ever held a conversation in our entire lives? All right? You said, but you sent me a text message. He said, is that so? He said, well, I wasn't with my phone. You know, my phone is usually with my secretary. Ask anybody, that text message wasn't sent for me, even though it was from my number. Are you following what I'm saying here? New world completely. And then I say, here is jail. You're under detention. So what's going on here? Because you didn't understand. God says, listen, we've got to expand. All right? Got to expand the way you think. I was telling my wife this morning when I was thinking about this. I said, now think about it this way. What will you do if two visible, bold, gay people, not hidden, bold, gay, came to church, I mean, sat down, singing worship with us? All right? Now, you think that every gay person, no, they're not repulsive. They're sharing the word of God. Come forward together. Say, Pastor, that is service. So, Pastor, what do you think about this scripture? You know, we're looking at this, and you are uncomfortable. Saying, well, you know, how are you people doing it? And they say, we need to join a department. I said, do you even know what to say or what to do? But you are praying, God send people. He said, the only people left are these kind of people. Do you have the capacity? Or are you looking for people that look like you, that have the same background? And a lot of Christians are guilty about that. We have a lingua, we have a, you understand this? Anybody, I mean, let just three ladies come in here, sit in front, wearing, you know, colorful things, short dresses. I'm telling you, by the time I get to the next service, emails will have come. Pastor, I don't really think this is proper in this particular church. You know, we're on television. You do not allow people to be sitting in front. No. Which means the only people that your spirit really accommodates are people that are like you. Completely covered. Are you following what I'm saying? That's why they were reacting to Jesus. They said, we don't see you in the parties of the religious people. You are going to go and meet drunkards. You are there in their party. Alright? Some people just cannot. So God says, look, there has to be an expansion.
Thank you for listening.